Hey, and welcome to Imani Nicole, the podcast, the place where you can be both spiritual and the most authentic version of yourself. I'm your host and lit life coach, Imani, and I will help demystify spiritual concepts and empower you to be the most lit version of yourself as you navigate your spiritual journey, relationships, and self-evolution while having a ton of fun in the process. Let's be our best selves together and let's get started. Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to the podcast and welcome to my energy. I'm so, so happy that we're here together. I'm sipping on my concoction that I told my Instagram story about. I've been really into like supplements and herbs and teas and things like that, natural remedies for things. And so I was looking up raspberry leaf tea on TikTok last week. And it's really good for like hormone balance and things like that. So, I mean, I'm not a doctor, so take that with what you will. But apparently, allegedly, it's great for like menstrual cramps, PCOS, mood swings, PMS, and things like that. And apparently, it's also good for labor or preparing your body for labor, allegedly, around the 36 week period. And so now my TikTok algorithm is showing me like things to do to prepare for labor. And I'm like, no, TikTok algorithm, it's just the opposite. I need menstrual cramp pain relief. That's what I'm here for. But I guess whenever the time comes, I have that in my pocket and I can just pull it out whenever, if ever I get pregnant. But if you missed my story yesterday, basically what it is raspberry leaf tea, what else? Cran pineapple juice. And yesterday I topped it off with some sparkling lemonade, some prebiotic sparkling lemonade by Kavita. I didn't have it. I used my last can yesterday. So, and I'm actually like cramping just a little bit today, but nothing too serious. Like I think the tea is actually helping with my menstrual cramps in real time, but I added a ginger tea bag when I was steeping my raspberry leaf tea bag, and it adds such a delicious bite to it. It's so good. I almost topped it off with LaCroix instead, but I was like, you know what? Maybe let's try that tomorrow. But for now, I'm just enjoying what this is for now. But anyways, let's get into today's episode. So if you haven't heard or you've been under a rock, Beyonce released her new album last Friday, and I wouldn't call it stereotypical country. It's quite honestly like not what you expect. It's a masterpiece. But anyway, I digress. So like I said, it's a country album, and I was born and raised in Alabama, so I'm no stranger to country music. We even had a country line dancing as a unit in PE in elementary school, and we like had to learn all these country line dances and then perform them. It honestly feels like a fever dream, but I think it happened. It did happen. But anyway, I'm going on a tangent, but anyways, there's a few country songs that I like, but I don't like country as a whole, right? And I was thinking about this the other day. I wonder if some of the reason for my dislike, strong dislike, as a matter of fact, of country is that, you know, even though the origin of country music has black roots, over time, the genre has been associated with deep, covert, and overt racism. Now, I'm not saying that all people that listen to country music are racist. Of course not. But what I will say, especially in the South, the association of racism with the genre itself is absolutely there. Now, Beyonce is by no stretch of the imagination the first black person to create or write modern country music. T-Pain actually wrote a lot of country music, but he stepped away from it because he experienced racism. And if you want more information about this, I highly recommend watching the documentary on Hulu. It's called It's Beyonce's Country. And they talk about the country music industry and the racial tension within it. And they also touch on the history of country music. And that's what I love so much about this album. There's so much depth and context and history and detail that went into her album, down to the type of horse that she rode on the album cover. Like, she is just so intentional with her artistry and her craft. And, you know, one of my favorite songs on the album is the cover of Blackbird that she sang with Tanner Adele, Brittany Spencer, Tierra Kennedy, and Raina Roberts, who are all Black women country artists. And for those of you who don't know, the song Blackbird was written by Paul McCartney and performed by the Beatles during the Civil Rights Movement in the 60s. And in the UK, bird is actually slang for girl, or at least it was in the 60s. I don't know about now, but I'll read some of the lyrics to you with that context, and I'll sub bird for girl, and I'll try to get through it without crying, but here we go. A black girl singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life, you were waiting only for this moment to arise. Black girl singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see. All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to be free. Oh no, here come the tears. See, I can't help it. Black girl fly. Black girl fly into the light of a dark black night. And like, just the fact that these gorgeous black women are singing this song in a genre that may or may not even fully accept them is the most gorgeous full circle. And that's just one example of how the context and history can completely change the experience of a song. And y'all, Beyonce is actually healing my relationship to country music. Like, I'm not even kidding. And you know, this isn't the first time she's crossed over into country, right? So her song Daddy's Lessons on the Lemonade album is a country song. And this album was actually born out of an experience that Beyonce had at the Country Music Awards when she performed Daddy's Lessons with the Chicks, formerly known as the Dixie Chicks, and she didn't feel welcomed at that award ceremony. My mom used to always tell me, don't go where you're not welcome. And this is why context is so important to advice, because if we're talking small scale, like, you know, your group of friends, like, obviously, don't hang out with those people if you're being actively and deliberately excluded and you're not welcome. Those bitches are not your friends and you need to bless and release, okay? But if we're talking macro level, societal level, industry level, if groups of people that were systematically othered did not go where they weren't welcome, our world today would look drastically different. And you know, what's really been bothering me, like really bothering me, is seeing people before she even came out with this album, right? Like when she came out with her two singles, is seeing the stay in your lane rhetoric and that's not country, or she's not country, or stick to what you know. And you know, this rhetoric is closed-minded at best on the lighter end of the spectrum and steeped in racism at the worst end of the spectrum. When country music as we know it today was born from black people in America dating back to the 1920s, if not before. And so what I don't get is being so territorial and gatekeep and determine the standard or try to define something that you didn't even create. Like, hello? Are you okay? Like, what? Like, it sincerely baffles me that someone could try to gatekeep or define or determine what someone's creativity is or isn't, or what's right or wrong when it comes to innovation, when that is the point of innovation. It's not going to fit perfectly into what you have seen or what you have experienced before. That's the point. And I was thinking about this the other day too. It's this very type of stay in your lane rhetoric that I was thinking holds a lot of us back. And I say us because I am very much including myself in this conversation, right? Particularly if you are a multi-passionate entrepreneur or a multi-passionate person, period, that has been told to niche down or pick one thing and stick to it, which could be an entire episode on its own, really, but that's a different conversation for a different day. But like, for example, if I can go on a slight tangent, I hate calling myself a life coach because I think the term sounds fluffy or not fluffy, but stuffy. Maybe that was a Freudian slip. But anyway, I think it sounds stuffy. I think it sounds stale. I think it's outdated. I don't like the term life coach. I don't. And secondly, what I do and what I help people with, like, kind of goes beyond that. I'm a teacher. I'm a facilitator. I'm a creative. But that's what I say. I say I'm a life coach because that's what people can wrap their head around. That's what makes a lot of sense to people, right? And because of that, I have found myself and can still find myself to this day trying to fit into what's out there and what's already been done, right? And maybe some of that resonates with you. But that's why I also find this album so inspiring, is because Beyoncé has never ever tried to fit into a box for her whole career. If anything, Beyoncé goes, okay, cool, that exists. How have the people contributed to this space before me? And how can I push past these boundaries? How can I leave my mark on this space? How can I reclaim this space? And if I'm being completely honest, I think Beyoncé is Beyoncé, and she is the superstar that she is because she doesn't try to fit in. And I think the same can be said for a lot of our favorites who have really made waves into this world. And I think we can take a page from that book. Now, I didn't make this episode to try to convince you to like Cowboy Carter or even like Beyoncé. And to be honest, like I said at the top of the episode or earlier, whatever, I don't care that much. I know not everything is going to resonate with everybody, so I'm not going to waste my time trying to convince you. But what I do hope that this episode did was make you look at your relationship to innovation, to look at your relationship with novelty and change, to look at your relationship with trying to put people or concepts or even yourself in boxes that you weren't meant to fit in. Especially if you've been trying to put yourself in a box that you weren't made to fit in, and you're looking around and you're like, oh, wait, something doesn't feel right that I can't quite put my finger on, but it's just not resonating and vibing with me. Maybe because you've been trying to do it in a way that's already been done, and you are meant to do it in a way that hasn't been done before that resonates with you. Maybe you are meant to do that change, be that change that you want to see in your industry, in your place of work, in your space that you live in, whatever it is, your family line, whatever it is, right? And that's what the Beyoncé album is doing for me, is looking at, okay, what areas in my life can I innovate? What in my life needs innovation, and how can I bring that? Anyways, I'm getting off my soapbox for the week. But in the meantime, let me know what you thought. Have you heard the album? What do you think? You can find me on Instagram, @ImaniNicole, TikTok, @ImaniNicole, YouTube, @ImaniNicole. You can find me just about any place, @ImaniNicole. But I hope you have a beautiful week. I love you, and I will see you next time. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you love what you heard, tell me about it. Find me on Instagram at Imani Nicole and tag me and tell me what you loved about this episode. I love hanging out with you and I cannot wait to talk to you next week. See you soon.